I was out walking this morning and the moon was still visible. You know, we had a full moon a couple of days ago. So now it's visible in the morning. Very beautiful. But the longer I walked, the fainter the moon got and the brighter the sun got. And now the moon has set and the sun has taken over. Why mention that? Because that's the right way to understand the Blessed Virgin Mary. We are honoring her today as our queen. This is the feast of the queenship of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And it's right that we honor her, but her honor is always in relation to the king. She's the mother of the king. Just like we love the moon, we love to see the moon, but it doesn't compare to the sun. In fact, the moon gets all its light from the sun, just as Mary gets all her light, all the grace that she distributes, she gets it from Jesus the King. So we're celebrating today the Queen Mother. Again, just to clarify, she's not queen because she's the wife of the king. She's the queen because she's the mother of the king. She's the Queen Mother. And this feast day is an extension of what we celebrated last week, last Thursday, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into heaven. I used this comparison last week, but it comes back to my mind. Why do we have another feast day in honor of Mary in heaven? We had one last week. Once she's assumed into heaven, of course, she takes her role as queen. Why do we have two separate feasts? Well, it's a style that the church has to extend the celebration for an octave. 8 days of celebration is appropriate. And it's something like, the analogy I used last week was, it's something like the honor given to Carlos Yulo, the man who won 2 gold medals at the Paris Olympics. Well, that man has accomplished something that has never happened in the history of the Philippines. So it's an extraordinary achievement, and everybody, when he won the first gold medal, everybody went wild. And he won a second gold medal, and everybody went wild. Like, this is an extraordinary thing, something to celebrate. But that was way back when he was still in Paris. After he got back to Manila, back to the Philippines, there was more celebration in honor of Carlos Yulo, and that's appropriate. There was a big parade last week. I was in Manila over the weekend, and there are signs everywhere with the face of Carlos Yulo on all the lampposts. There are all these streamers. Congratulations, Carlos Yulo, anak ng Manila. And I said, anak ng Manila, because I thought he was from the Visayas. He grew up in Malate. And I said, he really is anak ng Manila. And they wanted to name a street after him and name a day after him and all these things. The government gave him 22 million, something like that. I mean, a huge amount of money, and someone gave him a luxury condo, fully furnished, and all the different things. I mean, people are lining up to give Carlos Yulo honors. Now, we know that partly they're trying to bask in glory. They figure if I stand next to Carlos Yulo, or if I put my logo next to him, well, then maybe I'll get some of the benefit. But you see the analogy. Now, Carlos Yulo won the medals 2 weeks ago. So what are we doing now? Well, it's right. If this is the right way to celebrate an earthly accomplishment, and it's right that people want to be with him and ride in the parade with him and get their picture taken with him, well, because he's the hero. Well, okay, if that's an earthly expression of glory, what about heavenly expressions of glory? If Mary is assumed into heaven, isn't it right that we continue to celebrate her heavenly glory? And isn't it right that we want to be with her, get our picture taken with her, join her celebration, offer her gifts? Yes, it's right. It just goes with a correct honoring of high position and achievement. So that's what we're doing. And the church has honored Mary as queen, well, for a long, long time. She's been queen ever since she was assumed, but the feast day has taken deep root in the church. It wasn't always on August 22nd. It used to be May 31st, and that's why when Father Francis was ordained a priest, he was ordained on the feast of the queenship of Mary. That's when the feast day was. But after his ordination, in the something in the 60s, it changed, and that's why Sister Barbara, when she made her final profession as a religious, it was on the Queenship of Mary also, but it happened to be August 22nd. So. And now, the Church honors the Queens of Mary in lots of different ways. If you pray the Rosary, which I hope you do, you know that this is the fifth glorious mystery. Mary, crowned Queen of Heaven and Earth, Queen of Angels and Men. And whenever we pray the Rosary, at the end, we always pray the prayer, Hail, Holy Queen. I'm saying this because we take it for granted, you don't think about it, but this is the feast day on which we should be praying, Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope, because she's our Queen, she's the Queen Mother. Also, that's the that prayer is the Salve Regina, or if you know the Salve Regina, it's the same prayer, Hail, Holy Queen. Now, here in Anuel, this feast day takes on a special significance, and here in this shrine, even more, because this shrine is dedicated to our Queen Mother, Our Lady of the Liturgical Life, the two titles under which we honor this image, which is now here in the sanctuary, is at the top, Queen Mother, and at the bottom, Our Lady of the Liturgical Life, two descriptions of that image that comes from our founder. Queen Mother. You know, Father Francis wasn't so fixated on celebrating that image. In fact, he wasn't always sure quite how to share it, and he didn't think of it as being particularly significant just on this day, because the image of Our Lady of the Liturgical Life is the image of the whole liturgical year. So you could say every day of the year is the feast day of that image. But because of her title, Queen Mother, we make a special honor of her today. And as I explained before, our commitment day would have been today, or in these days, but we moved it to Saturday. So our big celebration as a community is really going to be on Saturday, even though it's after the feast day is already over. Well, thinking for a moment about this image, Our Lady of the Liturgical Life, you know, we have these holy cards that are in the pews, and we've run out of them. So we have to print some more. So the printers have been trying to get the colors right and everything. And then on the back, it has all these little words, which our older members of our community can't read anymore because the print is so small. So they asked me, well, are we going to put all these words on the back of the card? Because there's the prayer, which of course has to go with the image, and then there's this description written by Father Francis himself. In this icon of Our Lady of the Liturgical Life, Mary, our Queen Mother, stands before us with gracious authority, gesturing with a broad sweep of her arm over the vast expanse of the incarnational mystery contained in her maternal heart. So Father Francis describes this image with this kind of regal authority, this majestic gesture of holding out her hand and gathering everybody into the mystery that she's carrying in her heart. It's kind of a lofty language. And then there's a whole description of the icon. I'm just mentioning this because maybe people haven't even read this, because it's very small print. And maybe if you read it, you don't remember what it says. And Father Francis puts in the words, puts in the mouth of Mary, speaking to the hearts of her children, "This is the fruit of my womb. This is the victim lamb, wounded for the sins of the world. Look on him whom you have pierced. See also, unveiled before your eyes through the circle of the sacred host, and around the chalice filled with the blood of the Lamb, the entire pageant of the liturgy." It's this icon is an icon of the whole liturgy. So I won't read the whole thing. Anyway, we're still trying to figure out how to reprint these, because we can't. I don't think we can put so many words on there. I'm tempted to say, to put on there, for a description of this image, go to the website. Because now people can go to websites, but I don't know, we haven't solved that problem. But in case you're looking for these cards, we really have run out of them, so that's why we have to reprint them. Okay, but it's good to see in this image, since we're unknown people, what is in the heart of our Queen Mother. We naturally think of a queen as, you know, reigning on a throne and reigning in gold and having servants, but this queen reigns over the whole mystery of God's work from beginning to end. She's given this role of drawing everyone into the heart of what God is doing, which is in her own heart. So it's a very joyful feast. There are readings suggested for this feast which we didn't use because they don't convey that well what we're celebrating. In fact, if you wanted to choose a reading, one of the best readings for this feast is the one we had last week for the Feast of the Assumption, the passage from Revelation chapter 12, where it speaks about a heavenly woman crowned with the with 12 stars. No, how does it? How does it go? A woman in heaven, clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. It's obviously a queen. She's got a crown of 12 stars. So that would be a good reading for today, but it's not the reading for this feast, probably because we just used it last week. Well, we read the readings for today, and I won't spend a lot of time on them, but just to point out a couple of things that the liturgy gives to us to celebrate Mary, our Queen Mother. In the first reading, taken from the prophet Ezekiel, there's the prophecy of a new heart. Of a new heart and a new spirit. I'm going to cleanse you from all your impurities. I'm going to drive out all the corruption from idolatry, and I'm going to give you a new heart and a new spirit. I'm going to put my spirit within you and make you live by my statutes. Now, when we read this, you might not think of Mary right away, but since today is the feast day of our Queen Mother, you can see that this prophecy is connected to her. Who is the first one to receive this gift of a new heart and a new spirit? Who is the first one to be completely purified of all sin? The Blessed Virgin Mary. So this ancient prophecy, which is for all of us, God wants all of us to have a new heart. He wants us all to be purified from all sin. It's given a special expression in the case of our Blessed Mother, our Queen Mother, who has an immaculate heart, who has a perfect union with the Holy Spirit, and who, because she is perfect, is entirely dedicated to sharing what she receives with her children. So if she has a new heart, and if we're her children, we receive a new heart through her, from God, of course. But she's the one who dispenses God's gifts. Why does God choose her to dispense his gifts? Because she's so good at it. There's no interference. God wants everyone to cooperate with his work, his gifts, but because of our impurities and defilement, we don't always do it that well. But Mary, our Queen Mother, she's the perfect recipient and receptacle and also dispensatrix of grace. Okay. Now, this gospel is the parable of the king who gives a wedding feast for his son. So you have a king, you have his son, you have a wedding feast. There's no mention of a queen here in this parable, but we can use our spiritual imagination to think that the queen would certainly have a big role, maybe in the background, but a very important role in making sure that the wedding feast of the son happens and in the right way. Now we see the king is concerned about making sure you get all the guests there. I want this hall filled with guests. Well, what's the queen doing? Well, she's also making sure that the hall is filled with guests, but she's not just thinking about numbers and making sure that this is the appropriate celebration for the son, but to make sure that the guests are properly clothed, make sure that they're properly received, make sure that the intentions of the king are carried out in fullness. So she doesn't have to be mentioned. Of course she's at work. And this, I think, gives us a good insight into Mary, our Queen Mother, Yes, she's always at work, but she doesn't draw attention to herself because her task is to prepare our union with the Son. We're being prepared for a great wedding banquet. And she's entirely dedicated to making sure that we have our wedding garment and we keep it clean, to making sure that we respond to the invitation, that we don't get distracted by running off to our businesses or our farms or whatever things keep us from responding to the King's invitation. So Mary's always at work in the preparation for this great wedding feast. And that's why we turn to her. She teaches us how to respond to the invitation, how to ponder this word, how to make the journey of faith to union with God. So it's a great feast. It's a feast of a largely hidden Queen Mother, but this is our opportunity to give prominence to her, to honor her, and also to renew our commitment to cooperate with her, who teaches us how to cooperate with the grace of her Son, with the power of the Holy Spirit.